Jennifer.
Good morning. This is Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. It says, "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over the flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and laying in a manger.' Suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests.' When the angels had left them and had gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.' So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told."
From that familiar passage that Jennifer just read for us, it's part of our, just part of the grid that we often see the world through, isn't it? We've heard that story of the birth of Jesus, and especially this part of the shepherds and the angels and all that transpired in that first Christmas Eve. But I just wanted us to notice something in this story, especially as our theme today is about this word, this simple little word called joy. Where does joy enter into the story? I mean, you know, the shepherds out in the fields, are they joyful? No. No, they're doing what they do. They're doing their job. They're watching their sheep at night. Okay, angel appears to the shepherds, and the glory of the Lord shines all about them. Are they joyful? No, they're scared. It says, in fact, the word was terrified. Yes, terrified. The angel announces that a Savior is born. Joyful? That's where it's at. That's where it's at. And I want to hold on to that thought, that in the midst of all that is going on in this story, we are seeing the introduction of joy into the world in a way that it had never been introduced before. It is introduced to the world truly because before this day, a Savior had not been born. And this story is going to kind of draw us to that attention that when we think about what joy is, it is rooted in that event. It is rooted in that event that we have a Savior that we can celebrate, that we can rest in, that we can emulate, that we can simply allow Him to help care for us in our life and in this world. And that is the emanation of joy out into our life and through our life. We struggle with the idea of joy sometimes because we get it all kind of confused. And I'm sure confusion was part of this night as well. I mean, the shepherds respond in praise, right? They run off to go and see that, and they find that it's all just as the angel said. And then they return. As they return, I ask you this, was everything the same or was everything now different? They return to the same hills, the same sheep, the same job. But because of the birth of the Messiah, the Savior, everything is different. And that's this transformation that this little story that we come so familiar with really opens up for us. This is a dynamite passage that says that the world changes and it hinges on this one event, that the Savior's been born for us. And that is the good news that will bring great joy. You know, we as Americans, we hold many things dear to us. I know in the Declaration of Independence, it talks about some of these rights that we have been given, the right to life, to liberty, and guess what else? The pursuit of happiness, that's right. And so we are told that this idea of the pursuit of happiness is a right that we have been given by our Creator. But you know, the problem with that is that while we are always free to pursue happiness, and we all do, don't we? Happiness is fleeting. happiness comes and goes. We all want happiness, but it depends on forces that are really beyond our control. They are often the situations or the circumstances that kind of impact us, or maybe it's just our moods and we can't even control our own moods. And so whether we're happy or whether we're not happy depends on things outside of us. Happiness is always rooted in what's happening. This is the best way to put it for us. And you notice that when the angel came, he didn't say, I'm going to bring you great news that's going to bring great happiness, because that's not the same. It's not the same. We all yearn for happiness. We all pursue happiness. We all want to fill our lives with happy things. But that's not always how our life goes. Sometimes we are filled with happiness. Sometimes we are not filled. We're very unhappy. And yet, despite it all, we can still remain in joy. Why? Because a Savior has been born. And we can rest in that. Happiness and joy are different. Happiness is rooted in what's happening, but joy is rooted in Jesus, in this idea of what Christ has done for us. And we need to continue to hold on to that. If I were to kind of take us through, and there's all this, you think this is just, I'm making something up out of this little teeny story, but I'm not. This is throughout the Bible, we see this, whether it be Old Testament, as read before us earlier, or the New Testament, as we look at things like John 15, where Jesus says, I am the vine and you are the branches. He's saying that in that connection, I'd encourage you to go and read that again. John 15 is amazing. It says that if we abide in him, if we rest in his love, if we express that love to others, if we do that in a way that we're following in his ways, then guess what? We are going to experience something that he calls joy. He says, I have told you so, all of this, so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. Again, he doesn't say, I'm going to give this to you so that you can be happy. He simply says that regardless of the circumstance, that you can know the fullness of my joy and you can rest in the fullness of my joy if you abide in me, if you allow me to love you, if you love in the way that I have loved you. It is profound. It is life-changing for us. And as the church, I think this is one of the places where we have missed the mark. I'm not talking about anyone in particular. Simply to say that as the church, when the world looks at the church, they don't see us as being emanating joy, which is sad. They see us being like just like everybody else. This is to be the trademark for that church which Christ is establishing, that rooted in him, that established in what he has done, that we begin to feel something welling up in us. And I want to hold on to that thought just for a bit. Because we can be going through a difficult time and still have joy. Because that difficult time may be more than we can handle. But it's not more than what God has already given to us. We can be thoroughly unhappy with the way things are turning out in our situations at work or with our family or just in my own personal life or my health. We can be very unhappy about how things have turned, and yet we can find that there can still be joy. We can be overwhelmed with grief because we have lost someone dear to us. We've lost something, a dream that's dear to us. We've lost a job that gave us a sense of identity or security. And yet still in the midst of that loss, we can still have joy. And why is that? Because that joy is not dependent upon anything else in the world around us, not any circumstance, nothing that they can do. It is the thing that is to be there for us because of what Christ has done. Now, if you're not feeling very joyful this morning, I'm not going to beat you up. The reality is that becomes part of our habit of growing in Christ, that we become aware of his presence and aware of his gift in such a way that we allow his spirit. Again, Jesus said that my joy will be in you and your joy will then be complete. In his book called Here and Now, Henri Nouwen says this, that joy is essential to the spiritual life. It is something that should be like air is to us to breathe. And he refers to it this way: the joy is the experience of knowing that you are unconditionally loved, and that nothing, sickness, failure, emotional distress, oppression, war, or even death can take that love away. So hold on to that just for a moment. What are the things that frustrate us? What are the things that cause us to say, I'm not happy? Anyone want to offer something, maybe not too specific, but just something in general? What are the things that get in our way that begin to steal from us a sense of well-being? Grief. Yeah, financial situation, stress. Yeah. Anyone else? Busyness. Loneliness. You see, all of these things, then they're all real, and there's many, many more, aren't there? Many, many more. But we have to realize that those cannot steal our joy, because none of those can take away this love which God has to us. So into those situations, into that place of loneliness, or into that place of busyness, or into that place of stress or grief, or whatever it may be, we are invited to bring the light of Christ back with us and say, okay, God loves me. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. You know, there is something profound about that little song, isn't there? And I think it's kind of sad that I know I've run into kids all the time that don't know that song. It just seems like there's a tragedy there, that they should know that, because even if they don't know much more than that, if all they knew was that Jesus loves me, this I know. And then somewhere in the Bible, it talks about how he loves them. This might begin to change the way they approach the world. Now, when we live in Christ, his joy helps us conquer those most difficult challenges that we face. He can calm those most terrifying fears that we come to. He can help us get through those most discouraging and most difficult times, because it is the joy of Christ that wells up in us and that enables us to have the strength then to go on. Later on in that same page, now it also says that joy does not simply happen to us. Now, this is the challenge, and I love the fact that Noah points this out. That because sometimes we think, okay, well, I'm not feeling joyful, so maybe this joy doesn't work for me. Or I'm not feeling joyful, so what Jesus did doesn't affect me that far. Or I'm not feeling joyful because whatever. Now, it says joy does not simply happen to us. And this is important, that we have to choose joy and to keep choosing it every day. Hear me on that, because you may not be feeling joyful today, but I'm going to invite you to say, I'm going to choose joy despite my circumstances. Because the fact that my circumstances are difficult does not affect the fact that Christ was born, that Christ died, that Christ loves me, and that Christ was raised again. All of these become the foundation of my joy, the fount of my joy, and those are not affected by circumstances. As I wrestle with this, as I rest in it, as I say, do you really love me, Jesus? And I'm reminded yet again that yes, he does. Something begins to change within me. It's not like a thermostat on the wall that you can turn it up. I'm going to feel more joy today. But as we focus on what Christ has done for us, it's like a thermometer that catches. We're going to notice that joy does begin to grow in us. This is based on the knowledge that God has done something amazing for us that we often just take for granted or overlook. Now, the joy of the season is that Christ came, and out of his love, he gives us something, and that should begin to well up in us in a way that enables us then to face all those difficulties that we must face in this world, and to face them with a strength and a new sense of purpose, because of the joy in us that is leading us forward. The Apostle Paul in Romans 15 said this was his prayer for the church. In a sense, his prayer for you and me. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust him, And again, that's the other piece, that we need to choose it. Say, I'm going to focus on this. I'm going to trust him through this. Because most oftentimes, it is that very thing, that insecurity, that fear, that wondering, that not finding our foundation in Christ. And because of that, everything else gets oversized and it becomes too much for us. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust him so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Anyone here feeling a little underpowered, like you're climbing a hill but you don't know if you're going to be able to get there? Yeah, that is how we feel. This is Paul's prayer for us, that we would be so buoyed up by joy, filled and surrounded by this peace as we trust him, that the power of the Holy Spirit would then continue to do the work of carrying us, to be able to bring our worries, to even bring our frustrations, to bring any confusion or any stress, to be able to take that all and to bring it here and lay it at the feet of the Messiah. For I bring you good news that will be for all people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior is born. So the goal for us today, and every day, as we say, I'm going to choose this, is to take that time to invite him to meet you where you are, whatever that season may be for you. Invite him into your present and allow him to begin to do the thing in your heart that only he can do, which is begin to fill you with joy. So, Father, I ask you today for that very thing, for each and every one of us. If we were to gauge how great our joy is, Father, I'm afraid many of us would come up far short. But you know where we're at. So, Lord, we are asking you today to meet us here, to allow your presence to touch us in a way that reminds us of the depth and the expanse of your love for us. Lord, as we meet with you, as we rest in you, as we invite you to have your way, as we release those fears, those worries, those stresses, all the insecurities and all those places where the enemy would use to pick at us and tear us down, Father, I pray that your joy will begin to abound in us as we recognize the time of the season as it draws near, as we recognize the gift of Christ as we celebrate it again, that we would hold on to that. So, Father, I thank you for Jesus, and I thank you for that gift. I pray that as we rest in him and as we look to him, we will receive his joy, and that our joy will be made complete. We thank you for this holy season. Grow that sense of your goodness and joy within us. In Jesus' name, amen.